I want to preach to you tonight from this 8th chapter of John. Reading verse 10 and 11. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. From this 11th verse of the 8th chapter of John, in response to the cry and question of Jesus, Where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I want you to pitch your mental tent on this scripture tonight. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I'm going to preach to you tonight on a subject entitled The Sweetest Words This Side of Heaven. The sweetest words this side of heaven. You know what they are? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How many appreciate the Lord that He has that authority and can do that? Would you pray with me now for the Lord to bless tonight? Everybody pray. Pray. Hallelujah. Neither do I condemn thee.
Neither do I condemn thee.
Go and sin no more.
Go and sin no more.
You may be seated. Someone has well said that sin is pitiless as poison, insidious as disease. It ruins like rot. It damns, dooms, depletes, bankrupts, demoralizes, and leaves you without hope with eternity. Sin is not just a word, it's a deed. 1 John 3:4 declares sin is the transgression of the law. Doing something God said not to do, in other words. Verse 8 said, He that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil is involved in the sinning business. That's the reason the faith of God, which comprises the doctrine, Romans 6:17, 2 Timothy 4:6, 7, and 8, is opposite to what the devil does. Therefore, as the book said in Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The devil is a murderer and a liar. John 8:44. And he'll try to get you to do something contrary to the law and commandments of God. And when you do, it is not an upward stumble in progress. It's sin. The Bible in James 4:17 declared, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And this all-inclusiveness of 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. Sin, 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 sin. When I bury somebody, sin is to blame. When I look at wars, rumors of wars, political instability, and the troubles this world is in its convulsive state, sin is to blame. We tonight are having to go through what Adam and Eve brought upon this world. 5:12 of Romans, wherefore is by one man's death, or sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. Every time you bury somebody, it ought to be a reminder that sin brought death in the world.
That's the truth.
The wages of sin is death, said Romans 6:23. James 1:15 reiterates, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Right.
When sin gets through with you, friend, you're dead.
Amen.
You're dead, you're dead. So I'm not talking about something that is filed away in a computer or on a bookshelf or just exists on the blackboard of a teaching class. This that I'm speaking is a reality that you have to cope with every day. And if you lose and sin wins, you're going to hell. And the only chance you got is to defeat sin. And may I say right now that you're going to have some help to do that. 1 John 4:4 declared, a people that have the Holy Ghost, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we're speaking tonight of sin. The Bible tells me in 1 Kings 8:46, there's no man that sinneth not. 3:22 of Galatians again declared, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. All under sin. Ecclesiastes 7 and 20, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not one. Not one, not one, not one. David said in Psalms 51 and 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalms 58:3. The Bible said we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. All we like sheep have gone astray, says Isaiah 53:6. Yes, my friend, you've got sin, and sin's got to be dealt with sometime, somewhere. 1 Timothy 5:24 speaks of some men's sins go before the judgment and some follow after. It means that you've got the power of choice. You can either send your sins on ahead, which requires you to face up to the sin question and do something about it. Or you can put it off, procrastinate, hide it from your mind, and do your thing. But your sins are going to follow after. They'll stand up at the day of judgment at the white throne and identify you. Your sins belong to you. They got your fingerprints all over them. You can't deny them. What are you going to do with your sin? 32:23 of Ezekiel said, be sure your sin will find you out. 12:13 of Ecclesiastes said that God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Galatians 6 and 7 said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I believe you'll have to agree with Romans 3 and 9 that we before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 12, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 19, that all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah said it better than I in 59:2 of Isaiah. He said, your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid His face from you. My friend, sin is going to have to be dealt with. Sometime, somewhere, someplace, you're going to have to give an account to God. Because 17:30, that's declared in verse 31, God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. It was said of Jesus Christ, He Himself declared that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son in John 5 and verse 22. Jesus said in John 12:47, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But then He went on to say, He that rejecteth my words and receiveth not him that sent me, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I believe that when the worlds are on fire and the stars are falling like cinders from the sky, that what's going to judge this world is the holy word of God. Jesus declared and was declared to be the judge of the quick and dead. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. The Bible speaks in 2 Timothy 4 and 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His coming. I remind you, my friend, Jesus is going to come as a judge one of these days. What are you going to do with the sin question? If I stood before you and diagnosed the illness and the problem and gave you no hope for a cure, it perhaps would be something which would cause us all to weep and wail. But I want to tell you before I go too far tonight, I've got good news to bring to you. You don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to face the things that you've done at the white throne of judgment. There's a way out. There's a way up. There's a way in. There's a way to be free. Jesus said in John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. There's nowhere for you to hide, friend. The teaching of Jesus ripped the cloak away. 8:24 of John, He said, except you believe on He, ye shall die in your sins. Now don't sit there and rationalize with this preacher tonight. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I just as soon call you a liar than God. I'd rather call you bad names than God a liar. If there's one thing you can rest assured, let every man be a liar, but God is truth. Yes. Jesus said He was the truth in John 14:6. He said in John 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth produces liberty. 5:1 of Galatians said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. 8:36 of John, Jesus said, if therefore the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify Him through Thy word. Thy word is truth. And I'd like to impress on you in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. I'm speaking from my heart tonight. I want you to settle the sin question. And I want you to settle it tonight. I want you to put your sins under the blood. I want you to deal with the sin question tonight. Praise the Lord. In this story tonight in John chapter 8, the Bible said in verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him. And He sat down and taught them. Jesus loved to teach the way of truth. He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now, before I go further with this scene tonight, I want to set the stage. Jesus was teaching truth. These self-righteous, pompous, self-anointed hypocrites came in with a woman that they had found in sin. And as Jesus was teaching, I could hear them as they shoved her along, drug her in, her head bowed in shame as the stares of the curious looked upon her. No matter what you've done, you've still got a little dignity and you don't want everybody to know it. And this is one reason I'm going to try to get you to deal with the sin question tonight, because if you don't, everybody is going to know it. So they brought this woman in. The scribes and Pharisees. These were religious people. These were people that supposedly loved God. But they were the ones that initiated this woman's bringing her in to make her a public spectacle. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, right smack in the center of attention. Now, I don't know what secret sin you've committed that no one knows about. I don't know who you've been running with. I don't know what you've been doing. And it's not my business to be a judge. But I want to tell you one thing, sir. God knows what you've done. There's no way you can hide anything from God. Hebrews 4:12 said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul, spirit, and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things, everybody say all things, are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Jesus knew about that woman. He knew when that surly crowd pushing her along like a common criminal and shoving her in the spotlight. He knew what she was guilty of when they came through the door. And when you walked in this door tonight, Jesus knew where you'd been, what you've been doing, where you've been living, and who you've been living with. You as well say amen.
Amen.
And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. They had broken up a romantic interlude. They had broken up an affair and caught him in the very act. Now, no way will I stand here and defend an adulteress. But again, no way will I stand here and defend an adulterer. I say, if you're going to judge the adulteress, you need to judge the adulterer. I say, if you're going to make the woman a public spectacle, then you need to bring the man too. I don't know if this Lothario, this Don Juan, had escaped, or they just let him go. But they should have had him there too. I say, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And I say that the scale of justice must be even. And I say what we mete out to one, we must mete out to all. Come on, say amen. Well, adultery is a sin. No question about it. The Bible labels it as one of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Number one was adultery. Verse 21 said, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, adultery will keep you out of heaven. It's listed also again in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Verse 11, Paul said, and such were some of you.
Were.
That means in the Corinth church there had to be some in the congregation that were adulterers at one time. I submit some of you had best not put your holy rags of white purity about you and act as if you have never put your torch in the mud of inconsistency and sit there and act as if you've never done a deed or said an act or done anything you shouldn't have done. I'm telling you, every one of us ought to sit here and say, thank God for the blood and the mercy and the goodness of God. Again, in Ephesians 5:5, Paul said, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Well, over in Revelation 21 and 8 it said, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, lady, before that holy fire of unbridled lust burns in your heart, you had best consider the fires of hell and damnation. Sir, before you let passion rule the day, you better remember hell is going to be for adulterers. It was said in the New Jerusalem in Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers. 13 and verse 4 of Hebrews said, marriage is honorable unto all. And this shacking up and living together without a marriage contract is against the law of God. I still say in the eyes of God and decent God-fearing people, marriage is honorable. Marriage is honorable unto all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So they brought this woman in, put her right in the very midst. How about you tonight? Would you like the secret sins of your past life written on the wall, as in Belshazzar's festive hall, when the man's hand scribbled on the wall? With some of you who act as if you've never said or done a thing you shouldn't have, would you like for God to suddenly reveal the secret thoughts of your heart and the private meditations of your soul? Would you like for God to publicize what you've been privately thinking? It behooves us all to gather ourselves together and say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy and for your love. Well, they set her in the midst. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses and the law commandeth us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They were right. Leviticus 20, verse 10, Deuteronomy 22:22, both authorize stoning to death the adulterer and adulteress. They were right. And all so quick and ready to bring the stones. So quick and ready. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. And I'll tell you something, sweet Jesus. We got stones ready too. We've got them. The law said that such should be stoned. But before we stone her, we'd like to know what you think about it. But what sayest thou? They were going to try to catch him because the next verse said, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They were ready to stone the woman. They were ready right then. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons we don't have greater revivals and more love in our churches and among our ministers and among all the saints of God, we've got too many people that are ready to come to church and throw stones.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, I've seen them. They come with stones. They're ready to throw them any time. Somebody don't sing like they like it, they'll throw stones. Somebody gets up, says a little something that stomps on their toes. Instead of taking the word of God, they'll throw a stone. How quick we are to criticize, find fault, ridicule, perhaps forgetting our own dirty past. They were ready to stone the woman. I suppose if the Holy Ghost was to reveal tonight, and a name could be called, and maybe there's someone here that killed somebody, boy, you'd be ready to stone them. Or maybe somebody's here that's told a lie. Oh, you're ready to stone them. Maybe somebody's here that's done some other dastardly deed, and boy, we're ready to stone them. You know what I think we'd all be better off doing? Leave our rocks on the outside and come in here and worship God. I'll give you a good tip of advice, preacher. I'll give you a good tip of advice, saint. Leave your rocks at home. I don't think church is a place to slam stones. I don't think church is a place to throw rocks. I don't think church is a place to damn one another. And it's not only the ministry, but saints, bless their hearts, sometimes will rise in testimony service. And instead of glorifying the name of Jesus, they'll get a chance to throw a stone at someone or something or some activity and boom!
Oh God.
Boy, they'll do it.
Oh God.
I don't believe that testimony service ought to be a launching pad for your bitterness. I think we ought to stand up and praise God. I think we ought to stand up and glorify the name of the Lord.
I think we ought to stand up and give Him the glory.
Hallelujah. You know what? I hope you leave your rocks at home. Amen. Well, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They want to test Jesus in a teaching contradiction. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger rolled on the ground as though he heard them not. Just rolled on the ground. Just rolled on the ground. As though he heard them not. Just started writing in the dirt. Oh, you want to sling dirt, do you, huh? And some of you here tonight, you dearly love to sling a little dirt because you know a little dirt about a lot of people. Mm-hmm. In fact, you major in it. You know, you like dirt. You know, if you like dirt, maybe Jesus is reminding us that we all came from the dirt. And He knows a whole lot of dirt about all of us. Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not.
So when they continued asking Him, they stood right there and poked Him on the shoulder. Now, come on, Jesus, answer the question. Quit evading the issue. Quit driving a dodge. So when they continued asking Him, you know what? The Bible said He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. I think those words are still fitting today. I'll give the mic to anybody here tonight that thinks you're as pure as the driven snow, that you never bobbled a ball, you never said a word you shouldn't have said, gone to a place you shouldn't have gone, you have never done a deed you shouldn't have done. Your life has been the personification and the epitome and the ideal of saintliness and godliness and holiness. You vile, double-decker hypocrite. I tell you, there's not a one of us ought to be able to throw a stone tonight. I'm going to say it again because I believe it. We've got too many stone throwers in Pentecost. Just because they're holy in some particular activity, they jump up and want to damn everybody else to a lick of fire when we all ought to fall on our faces and thank God that we've even got a chance to come to church and a chance to worship and a chance to preach and a chance to sing and a chance to have revival. You don't have to physically throw a stone to be a stone thrower. By your sitting there and not worshiping, you're throwing stones. By your sitting there and not involving yourself in the ministry, you're throwing stones. By your sitting there when someone is singing, trying to bless the congregation, and your mind is 1,000 miles away on 100 other things, you're throwing stones. Oh, God help me tonight. I'll say like Jesus, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Brother, the Bible said, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Twice now, here he goes down again and he's writing on the ground. I've always been curious, I don't know about you, what Jesus rolled in the dirt. But what he was writing in the dirt, something seized these men's hearts with conviction. For the Bible said that when Jesus had stooped down the second time, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. There had to be something that Jesus had said and something that Jesus had wrote in the dirt that caused these men to vacate the premises and leave that place. I've often wondered. I'll just surmise a little bit, huh? I'll just use my vivid imagination a little bit, okay? Let's say he stooped down and he wrote the word Jacob. And by the word Jacob, he might have wrote, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And old Jacob, he had been standing in the crowd, and he had his stone ready. He was going to stone that woman taken in adultery, but when he saw his name in the dirt, he didn't think anybody knew. He had them little idols that he slipped away in the groves and the woods and worshipped and offered incense to. He thought his own private thing nobody knew about, but here Jesus was writing it in the dirt and telling everybody. You know what I think old Jacob did? I think he dropped his rock, and I think he struck it on down the road. I think he got himself out of there. And I can see Jesus as he might have wrote the word Joseph, and he might have wrote down there, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And now Joseph, you see, he had a rock, and he was ready to use it. Bless God, I'll get it, that adulteress. She needs to be run out of town. We need to kill her. But when Joseph saw his name in the dirt and about taking the name of the Lord in vain, he didn't think anybody heard him when he kicked the dog through the screen door and then cussed a little. He didn't think anybody heard him when he was working on his car and the wrench skinned his thumb and he cussed a little. He didn't think anybody heard him when he was with the gang at the plant, you know, and they used a little bad language on a hunting trip or a fishing trip. He didn't think anybody heard him. But my God, God. Roll it in the dirt. And Joseph realized he had his number. You know what I think old Joseph did? You know what I think old Joseph did? You know what I think old Joseph did? I think he dropped his rock. And I think he moved himself on out of there. Hallelujah. Maybe Jesus wrote in the dirt, maybe John, and he wrote, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee. And old John, you know, he was one of them liberated men doing their own thing. He was ready to stone this woman, but he didn't know anybody knew how he had mistreated his mama and his daddy, how he had blatantly disobeyed, how he had done his thing, how he had used bad language to his mama and to his daddy, how he had disregarded them and their welfare. He knew all kind of like some do today when they get a little old, put them in an old folks home and let them rot away. Well, you drive a Cadillac and live in splendor, you damned little hypocrite, you. Hear me tonight. John had him a stone and he was going to kill a woman with adultery, but Jesus had John's number. You ain't have been honoring your father and your mother. You've been forgetting that. And old John, you know what John did? Hey, brother, you know what John did? Look at me. You know what John did? I'm preaching. You know what John did? John dropped his rock and he got himself out of that. You see, Jesus knew all about it. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Maybe Jesus. You better watch. I might get your name in here. I just might use some of your names. I know almost all of them anyhow. And the Holy Ghost just might talk to me. And I might bring something out of your past. Would you like for that to happen tonight? Would you like for the Lord to put your name down here in this dirt tonight? Would you like for God to show in the Spirit some of the dirty, foul, evil, ungodly, low-down deeds you've done? Come on now. You know, let me tell you. You better hear this, preacher. If I was you and had any rocks in my hand tonight, I'd drop them. If I was you and I had any bitterness in my heart, I'd get rid of it. If I was you and if I was a fault finder, I'd get rid of it. Amen. He could have rolled in the dirt, Simon, and he could roll in that dirt, Simon. Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not bear false witness. Oh, there was a lot of things in those Ten Commandments. And maybe old Simon, he had him a rock. He was ready for business. But oh, he forgot that somebody knew now of the lie he'd been telling, you know. Rolling the speed on the bag. Putting his thumb on the scales when he weighed out the meat. And when he closed with the real estate deal, he skimmed about $500 off the top. And he didn't know anybody knew. In all that small print of those contracts, he had built himself up a nice little nest egg. But Jesus knew. But Jesus knew. But Jesus knew. You just as well loosen up on me, because you ain't sitting on me tonight. But Jesus knew. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. Let me tell you, I think old Simon, he dropped his rock and he got himself out of there, because Jesus, he knew all about him. I say again and again and again, it behooves every one of us not to come out here, not to come out here and ridicule and satire and find fault and damn and doom. Someone going to the altar. Someone trying to straighten their life out. Somebody trying to get the Holy Ghost. Sit back and criticize. It behooves every one of us to drop our rocks and get involved in worshiping God. Bible said these all, being convicted by their own conscience. Being convicted by their own conscience. Being convicted by their own conscience. Went out one by one. Beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. There they were now. A long line of men moving it down the road.
one right after the other, walking with the business-like stride of, I'm getting myself out of here. I'm going to put some distance between me and what's going on back there. And if you was one of the town people and knew that they was about to have a hanging that day, you thought, well, where's all the executioners going? They in a long file, single line, hoofing it down the road. It don't look to me like they're going to an execution. Looks to me like they're running from something. It looks like something's after them, matter of fact. In fact, they got nothing but escaping on their mind. I see them moving on down the road. You see, my friend, God knows how to unleash the memories of your conscience. God knows how to resurrect the skeletons in the closet. God knows how to remind you of the pit from which you've been digged. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Yes, sir. They went out one by one. I could preach a long time on this. You know that. I could get a lot of scriptures, and I could throw a lot of names down there. I could put the name Mary, and I could put down there that all bitterness and wrath and anger and strife and all that be put away from you. And I could talk about you. I could put maybe Laban down. I could put a lot of names down there, and I could talk about a lot of things. You know what I'm trying to tell you tonight, I hope? If your name's Sue or Mary or Esther or John or Joel or James or Henry or whatever. You know what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you, and I want to tell you one more time. If you're a preacher or if you're a singer or if you're a saint or if you, whoever you are from wherever you're from, drop your rock. You put your rock throwing. You put your rock throwing. You put your rock throwing. I said you put your rock throwing. I said you put your rock throwing. I say let's have revival. That woman was standing there. The Bible said, and these all being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman. Nobody was left. No doubt that poor woman standing there realized at any moment she could feel the pain of rocks as they were going to start into her body. She was going to be pelted and hammered with rocks. She no doubt realized it. And no doubt 100 times over she was saying in her mind, if I could only have thought of the consequences of my actions. If I had only could have thought of where sin would have led me. If I could only had this day to live over again. I wouldn't have met him in that secret rendezvous. I wouldn't have been running around on my husband. I wouldn't have been engaging in his dirty immorality. But she thought, it's all over now. They're gonna stone me. And they got every right to stone me. And she braced herself for the rocks. But it seems like all she could ever hear as far as rocks was the dull thud of rocks dropping in the dirt and the pity patter of sandaled feet as they quietly got themselves out of there. She could sense a movement around her, and as she stood there waiting, one by one they all left until Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Now you got the picture? I hope you got the picture. For Jesus is able to separate you from your accusers tonight. I say you've got to answer for your sin and not for someone else's sin. I think this is one thing Jesus was bringing home, that you're so quick to clobber somebody else because of their sin that every man's got to answer for his own sin. Amen. And all of us have got a full-time job keeping ourselves holy and keeping ourselves righteous. Praise the Lord. Well, Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. The Bible said when Jesus had lifted up himself, he kind of just raised himself up now and saw none but the woman. Saw none
none but the woman. All he done was right in the dirt. It's just right in the dirt. That's all. Some of you think I've got to bang hammers together or sound horns or blow trumpets or get 100,000 angels to flap their wings to get your... I don't have to say a thing. God can speak in your conscience with thunderous tones louder than 1,000 Niagaras. You know every word you said you shouldn't. You hear me? You know every deed you've done you shouldn't have. Come on now. You know everything you've ever done that you shouldn't have done it. Let me tell you, when he rose up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, woman, 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 where are thine accusers?" Where's that surly mob that wanted to stone you to death? Woman, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Lord have mercy. I'm feeling my soul tonight. I was in the snare of the pharaoh. I was where they were going to stone me to death. I was all but a gone goblin. But my Jesus rescued me. My Jesus delivered me. He reminded the mob that they had sins of their own. He reminded the stone throwers that they had judgment coming to them. Woman, woman, where are thine accusers? You see, you know every honky-tonk you've been to. You know every discotheque you pop your fingers to the blaring music. You know every man you've ever lived with. You know every woman you've ever run with. You know every dope you've ever shot up in your veins. You know every curse word. You know every pornographic material you've ever read. You know every low-down thing you've ever done wrong. But you know something? When I got to Jesus, he separated me from my accusers. He got me and my sin so that I could deal with it. Oh, woman, 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 where are thine accusers? You may tell you something. If it had been left up to the devil, you wouldn't have what you got tonight. He knows enough dirt on all of us to make us invalid and disqualified at the judgment bar gone. The devil could say, "Now there ain't no need of giving him the Holy Ghost. He's a rotten thief. He's a disobedient son. He's an unscrupulous merchant. He's one that has done a lot of things, and I know all about him." But Jesus separates us from our accusers. Woman, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And let us now, I want you to notice, she'd been standing there, and when Jesus said those words, she said, "No man, Lord." In other words, they didn't say a word. They just got themselves out of there. Isn't that just like Jesus? He can shut the mouths of your accusers. He can zip their lip and hush their mug and stop them up. Yes, he can. He said to her, "Where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Now she was a wonder. This fella that had told so much and got that crowd with their rocks to leave, "Surely must know everything about me," she was saying. "He probably knows those other men and those other places and those other times. And he knows all them other secret things. And he's fixing to put it on me just like he put it on them. Oh, I know I'm condemned. I know I'm guilty." She braced herself, no doubt, for some more accusations. But did you hear these words as they came from the Rose of Sharon? Did you hear these words as they came from the Lily of the Valley? Did you hear these words as they came from the Good Shepherd? And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Woman, I could have wrote about you in the dirt. Woman, I could have got some more skeletons out of your closet. Woman, I could have told you some more things. But woman, neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee." Oh, Lord, have mercy. Go. woman, go. Go home to your husband. Go home to your children. Go home to your family. Go home to your house. Mop your floor. Wash your dishes. Take your place back up in the community. Go, woman, go. Go on. Go on. Don't stand here. Go, woman, go. Go, woman, go. I give you back your mind. I give you back your understanding. Go and sin no more. Isn't that just like Jesus? You see, I could tell you a whole lot of things. Sin will find you out. I can find this woman out. Sooner or later, your sins will point your finger at you and say, thou art the man. You see, like the sin of the Jews, it may have been done in ignorance. Luke 23:34. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of Esau, it might have been done under the impulse of a moment. Genesis 25:32. Hebrews 12:16-17. But it was sin anyhow. Like the sin of Cain, it might have been done in secret. Genesis 4:8-10. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of Joseph's brethren, it may be years before its discovery. 42:21 of Genesis. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of Achan, it might have been covered up. Joshua 7:21. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of Samson, it might have been done reluctantly. Judges 16:16-17. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of King Ahab, it might have been done by the prompting of others. In his case, his wife. 1 Kings 21:7-20. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of Belshazzar, it might have been done under the influence of strong drink. Daniel 5:1-2-27. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of King Herod, it might have been the result of a foolish promise. Matthew 14:6-10. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of Judas Iscariot, it might have been done with the approval of the authorities and for money. In Mark 14:10-11. But it's sin anyhow. Like the sin of Pilate, it might have been done to please the public. In Mark 15:15. But it's sin anyhow. I hope you hear this preacher tonight. You might excuse your puffing cigarettes and your shooting dope, or you might excuse your drinking beer or sipping whiskey or drinking vodka or telling a lie or cheating or doing this or that or running around with a woman or running around with another man. You might rationalize it. You might excuse, but sin will find you out. Sin will find you out. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that when you come to Jesus, He'll separate you from your accusers. And He'll get you to where He can talk to you. And He'll talk to you like He did this woman. And when He separated you from your accusers, and if you want Him to, He will. He'll say, neither. No more. Now, there had to be a pile of rocks right there. You know, in the Old Testament, when they crossed the Jordan or had any memorable experience, they put a big pile of rocks up and say, these rocks be a memorial. But that woman had a pile of rocks for a memorial. Those were the rocks that were going to do her in. Those were the rocks that were going to separate her from her children. Those were the rocks that were going to forever take away the love between her and her husband. Those were the rocks that were going to take her down to a shameful grave with indignity. But those rocks were never used. They just got scattered on the ground. But Jesus intervened. And Jesus rescued. And Jesus delivered. No doubt that woman, in times later, could slip around in the twilight and say, children, you see them rocks? I got a story to tell you about them rocks. I got something to tell you about them rocks. Children, hey, husband, come here. I'm sorry what I've done, but let's sneak down in the twilight. You see that pile of rocks? Those rocks tell me a story. Those rocks tell me a story of what could have been. Amen. You see, Jesus took her sin and He took it away.
It's an interesting study of what God does with sin.
Right.
Psalm 103 speaks of Him as far as east is from the west. So far hath He removed. Everybody say removed.
Removed.
Our transgressions from us. He don't store them up in a computer for some idiot to punch a few buttons and bring up every bad thing you've ever done.
Oh.
He takes them as far as the east is from the west. Oh Lord, I can almost see my God taking some sin away tonight. Maybe you've committed adultery. Maybe you've sinned against your marriage bed. Maybe you've done things you shouldn't have done against your family. You want to make it right tonight? I'll tell you what He'll do with your sin. He'll take it as far as the east is from the west. He'll scoop up your sin and pile them up. And He'll go across Oklahoma and North Texas and New Mexico and Arizona, maybe the Baja Peninsula of California, the Blue Pacific, Hawaii, the Philippines and Japan, and the Himalayas are but a dim memory now as He's picking up speed. And He runs up the Milky Way and jumps over Jupiter and Venus and Mars, and maybe out there in the illimitable expanse of eternity, a few angels, stragglers are around, and one of them might say to the other, way out where a human telescope has never been, and looked, who was that that just went by? Maybe angel 17894768Q5684-3ZY might reply and say, that was the Lord God Almighty. He dumped him down the Pine of Arkansas. He picked up an old drunkard's skins. He picked up an old heart of sins. He picked up an old prodigal sins. He picked up an old hypocrite's sins. He picked up an old thief's sins. And He's taking them away where nobody can find them. He's taking them away. I won't go into this in graphic detail. Time forbids. But it's an interesting story as what God does with sin. In Romans 4 verse 7 it says He covers it. Just covers it, you know. Just covers it all up. And in Isaiah 44:22, and Colossians 2 verse 14, He says He blots it out. It's like a big ink bottle. Now you see it. Now you know it. And I read in Isaiah 38 and verse 17 that He takes your sins and He casts them behind His back. Oh yes. Cast them behind His back. I read in Micah 7:19, He takes your sins and He casts them in the depths of the sea. How would you like all your hormones to be cast into the depths of the sea? How would you like all your dishonesty to be cast into the depths of the sea? How would you like all of your profanity to be cast into the depths of the sea? Say, harlot, how would you like your moral stains to be cast into the depths of the sea? I read in Isaiah 118:51 of Psalms that He makes the sinner as white as snow. White as snow. The devil tells you you're going to bear the scars and the stain and the ugliness all your life. You'll never be able to hold your head up. And you'll never be able to look anybody in the eye. You're always going to have to be intimidated. And you have to, with a downcast look, live your life. But He'll take you and your sins and make you as white as snow. That's what the blood can do tonight. That's what the blood can do tonight. I said, that's what the blood can do tonight. Yes, sir. He'll take your sins in Psalms 103 verse 3, in Ephesians 1 verse 7, Colossians 1 verse 14, and Ephesians, or rather Hebrews 8 and verse 10, it speaks about Him forgiving your sins. Just forgive them. Furthermore, I also read in Hebrews 8 and verse 12, He will forget your sins. Some people forgive, but they sure as the world don't forget. 49,000 years later, they'll say, I know Him.
I remember him when. I remember her when. God don't look that way. When you are washed in the blood, baptized in the name, filled with the Spirit, He washes you as white as snow. He forgives and forgets. He forgives and forgets. He forgives and forgets. He forgives and forgets. And the only thing I got is a pile of rocks to remind me of what I could have been and what could have happened. But He took the rocks out of the hands of my accusers. He took the rocks out of the hands of those that wished to do me in. Isn't that wonderful what God can do?
I thought that was a beautiful study of what He can do with your sin. I like that. I really do. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" You mean no one stayed around to really tell you off? She said, "No man, woman." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go." Oh, I like that word, go. Don't stand around here with a tough head. Don't stand around here all browbeaten and brainwashed and defeated. Don't stand around here with your chin on your chest. Go, woman, go. Go into tomorrow's. Go into next year's. Go face life. Set your shoulders back. Look up and know that I'm going to help you now. Go and pick up the pieces. Go home to your husband. Go home to your children. Go and sin no more. You know, I like that. I really do. Because that long line of men, you know, they had just left there. And if you could have run up beside maybe a Reuben or John or Simon, and you could have said, "Hey, Reuben, I thought you was going to stone a woman today. How come you're going home so quick? Supper's not ready." Reuben would say, "To be honest with you, Timothy, I have to confess. There's a fellow back there. He rolled in the ground and he told some things I didn't think anybody knew about. And I got myself out of there before he told everything he knew. I thought I better leave while the leaving was good. And you can run alongside all them men. How come you're leaving here?" Well, I tell you, after he told people what I'd been doing, I couldn't throw no stones at anybody. And they left, and they left, and they left. And they didn't want to stay around where Jesus was because Jesus knew everything about them. And sometimes that's the reason you don't come back to church. And that's the reason you don't hear apostolic preaching. And that's the reason you won't let God talk to you. You know, God knows how you've been living. God knows what you've been doing. God knows where you've been going. Amen. But you know something? You know something? That long line of men running. Top of the hill now. Their dust just spiraling off. Almost making a fog. It wasn't too far back. There was a lone figure. It was a woman. And she wasn't walking either. She was doing some running. But she was doing some different kind of running. Her running was with joy. She was running home. She was running back to her family. She was running to her children. She was going to put her dad around. Dad with them things when it ought to be dad with. She was going to take up her place in life and not make that mistake anymore. She was running too. And if you stood there and watched her and said, "Woman, I thought they were going to stone you today." They were. But Jesus took the stones out of her hand and He set me free. And He told me, "Go home." He told me, "Go home." He told me to go. I believe you can leave here tonight liberated. Amen. How many of you can leave here tonight free? Amen? How many of you can go home tonight with the Holy Ghost? Amen? How many of you can go home washed in the blood? Amen? How many of you can go home baptized in Jesus? Amen? How many of you can go home? And all you have down here at this altar to remind you of this night is a pile of rocks. 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 Let's stand on our feet, everybody. Stand and praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Sweetest words this side. Sweetest words this
side of heaven. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How many are appreciative that the Lord has set you free? Raise your hands and pray one more time. Pray. I want you to turn around now. Brother, I want you to lay hands on a brother and pray. Sister with a sister. And if it's just somebody that needs God, I want you to remind them in your prayer that the Lord forgives and forgets. I want you to remind them in your prayer that they can start over tonight. If they're a backslider, I want you to remind them in your prayer the Lord can set them free. Oh Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Just in case you are not aware of what I tried to say at the beginning of my message, I spent quite a bit of time trying to say something. And the answer I'm telling you is this. What are you going to do about the sin question? What are you going to do about the sin question? You got the answer one of these days. Now you can come now, or you're going to have to face your sins at the white throne of judgment. I got a pile of rocks down here to remind me God can deliver you tonight. I'd like for you to come. I'd like for you to come and pray. I don't often ask this question, but I'm going to. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Would you raise your hands and thus say, preacher, pray for me. I know that I've got sin in my life. I've done things I shouldn't. God knows what it is. Pray for me. I want to get right with God. I don't want to be lost. Would you raise your hand tonight so this church can pray for you? Raise your hand right now. Pray for me. 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 Is there one tonight? Is there one tonight? Is there one tonight? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one tonight that would raise their hand and say, pray for me. I don't want to die in my sins. Pray for me. 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 Don't let this time pass.
virtue. Come on, woman, come on. Raise your hands when you come down here. Would you pray?